Hi guys, welcome back for episode 21. So last week we explored how Google's AI overview is changing SEO and organic visibility. We talked about why content needs to be useful, structured, and built for AI-first search results. And this week, we're going to be focusing on something just as foundational, your ideal customer profile, and why getting it wrong silently kills performance across marketing and sales.
And you know, Chloe, the thing is, I mean, even when I look back myself, I mean, obviously, as you know, I've been in business for over 23 years now. Mm. When I first started the business, you know, as far as I was concerned, everybody was a customer, right?
Yeah.
And back then, you know, we had I was doing more programming back then, but it was way back in 2001 through to 2004. You know, there was no SEO or anything like that. So it was just kind of web design, and websites were only then just starting to get used for businesses. So at the time, you know, as far as I was concerned, everybody that had a car, to go back a bit, you know, at that point, before I started doing websites and things, I needed to learn how to build my own because I couldn't afford the £800 back then, which is, you know, we're going back a fair bit of time, eh?
Yeah.
23 years, actually, or 22, 23 years. And the thing is, back then, I was running a car detailing business, so we were valeting cars for the big motor stores in Edinburgh. Yeah, we had two contracts over there. So as I was out doing the cars during the day, I was coming in at night, and when we were developing a website, there was no mention of an ICP, which is an ideal customer profile or buyer persona. As far as I was concerned, everybody that had a car was a target for us, mm. right? You know, because who wouldn't want to have their car validated? Mm. Fast forward 23 years, I know that's a totally different thing. But the fact remains that when, especially when, you know, it's a new startup, unless they understand about this whole process of going through a strategy, and within that strategy, you need to make sure that you've got an ICP. Most of the ICPs comes from internal opinions rather than market feedback. And that's a big issue, even with some bigger organizations. And just organizations that have been around for a long time, they've never really done any ICP development or buyer persona development to truly understand who their customers are.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of business owners that are just starting out, you know, they're very, very, you know, positive about their product or their service. You know, who wouldn't want it? Or, you know, this is for everyone, it's for you, yeah. You know? Why wouldn't you want it? So, they tend not to niche down. But I think very quickly they do come to realize, okay, not everyone is my customer.
Well, that's correct. I mean, the thing is, a lot of this comes from, like, the founder's gut, just like you were saying there. You know, I'm excited about my product and how I can help. So yeah. Everybody else must be, right? And that's not going to be further from the truth, because nobody gives a crap about you or your business. You know, it can also come from old persona decks, if they have done some persona development, and then someone like us goes in, starts working with them, and then they dust off this persona deck of what they've done maybe 20, 30 years ago, or they have one high-value client, which even might be a bit of a nightmare, but they're the ones that pay the bill, and they tend to model them off that particular client. But there's obviously problems with that, right? As you end up targeting who you wish to buy your product rather than who actually needs or who actually wants your product or service.
Yeah.
And you get, as a business, you'll know yourself if your targeting's off, right? Because you'll start to get people that will submit quote requests that are just tire kickers. They don't have the budget and all this kind of stuff. And all that does is chew up your time and waste effort that you could be focusing on your ideal customer personas, eh?
Yeah, you just end up wasting money, time, and energy, really. If your best fit buyers aren't engaging, you don't have a marketing problem, you have an ICP problem.
100%.
So there's a few different signs your ICP is broken. So you can have really high traffic but low conversions. Low demo show-up rates, so nobody's coming, you know, to see your demonstrations. Likely due because nobody cares, demographic that you are targeting. Sales says these leads aren't a fit. So as we mentioned, some of the leads, you know, that are coming through are tire kickers. They could say, oh, I was just having a look, or...
They just aren't ready to buy.
Or they just completely ghost you and just never even answer any of your calls or messages.
But the thing is, that in itself is a really important topic of alignment, making sure that marketing and sales is aligned so that the both of them know exactly what a good ICP is and what that looks like before it even gets to the sales, you know.
Which we've actually done a podcast on this, episode 13, so I'll link it down below for you. Another sign your ICP is broken is you're constantly chasing unqualified leads. So you're spending too much time trying to convince somebody to buy your service or product, and they're not budging. If you have to convince someone to buy your product, they're probably not a good fit. Your ad fatigue, and you have a low click-through rate across different platforms. So ad fatigue happens when people are seeing your ad too often and nobody's clicking through. So it just means, you know, they've seen your ad, nobody's clicking through. You're wasting money on something that could be redone, retargeted, or you can offer some better promotions. Your messaging doesn't resonate even if your product is great. And this is one that we've seen quite a lot with different businesses, is they'll position themselves a certain way, but it's not resonating with the customers, or they'll position themselves as the hero rather than positioning their customers as the hero.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a little bit more on that, I suppose, is positions, like, hugely important. I mean, and also once you position, you need to make sure that your ICP, you know, you need to understand who your ICP is at that particular position. So, for instance, if you take, for instance, a Maserati versus a Ford Fiesta, you know, there are two completely different ICPs there. You know, in terms of a Ford car, you know, you see a lot of ads and things on TV because people that drive Fords generally watch the TV.
Yeah.
Whereas people, you know, maybe at the top of their game, who are doing podcasts and things like that and driving Maseratis, don't watch TV, so they don't advertise there. So it's really important to understand their business positioning and obviously who your business positioning or offer is positioned to the right ICP.
Yep.
In terms of good ICP and what that kind of looks like, you really need to answer a few questions. The first one is who they are, you know, and you can look at things like firmographics, demographics, you know, job title, industry, company size. I mean, that's more for kind of B2B, B2C, you know. You've got other things like as well, like, you know, what they eat for lunch, how many kids they've got, and all these other bits and pieces. What they need, so what you want to look at there is their pain points, you know, what's causing them pain at the minute. And really, once you understand what the pain points are, you should really be talking about the pain points in your marketing and things and how you solve them. What their priorities are, what their buying triggers are. Then you can move on to, you know, like I just said there, where they hang out about, which social media channels, because you'll find that not everyone is on Facebook. Not everyone is on Twitter. I personally hang more about on LinkedIn than I do the both of them. But you need to hang out wherever your ICP is. We tend to always, especially when we bring in a new client, is once we've reviewed and done our research, is target the channels where they are hanging out, but take a multi-channel approach so that you're not just focusing on the one channel. And then obviously you want to try and understand why they buy, you know, their emotional patterns and, you know, their practical drivers and things like that. So great ICPs are specific, they're not broad, they're based on real data, not guesswork. They're evolving with your business because your business does evolve over time, and they're aligned with sales and product insights.
Yeah, perfect. I think, so when we go through and do our marketing strategies, we actually do have a whole section just dedicated to your ICP. And, you know, we add in photos of what they look like, add their business, you know, what does this ideal customer look like in our eyes from literally everything. And I think a lot of our clients that have had this, when they tend to look at it, they're like, oh my God, like, no, I don't think they expect that. But that's when they really start to see, you know, an increase in their ROI and their spending, because they're targeting the right people that, you know, are looking for that product.
That's right. And the thing is, Chloe, I mean, you can see that yourself from when we launch a new website for a client. You know, that's when the growth engine really starts to kick in, and SEO and socials and paid and all the rest of it. But you know yourself that, you know, well, within the first, sometimes even that first few hours of going live, there's qualified leads coming through.
Yep.
It's a no-brainer. And a lot of these customers that we have, you know, they've had websites done before by other agencies and things, and they've just sat there essentially gathering dust, not even producing any leads in the whole time that they're with them, you know. And that's the difference about making sure the website is targeted as well, you know. So the thing is, how do you build or rebuild even and validate your ICP? The first thing you need to do is start with your best customers. You know, who gets the most value, who renews, and who refers. Realistically, that's what you want to look at, and try and build up a, you know, an overview of those best customers based on their demographics, their age, their, you know, I mean, it could even be down to the, you know, it might be more males or more females that buy this kind of product in that particular age range with, and they're a young family with three kids and the drive, afford or the drive, you know, or maybe they're in their early 50s and they're driving the Maserati, you know, because they've got more disposable income, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You can also then move on to using data that you already have. So that's like looking into, say, your CRM, you know, your win-loss reports. You could look at sales feedback. You can look at the whole conversation, because everything that you, every interaction with your customer should be saved in your CRM, everything. You can also look at things like deal size, sales cycle, sales velocity, churn rate, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's a whole host of data that you can use from your CRM that can help you build out these buyer personas or ideal customer profiles. And of course, one of the big things is actually taking time to interview your customers. Now, this can also be difficult to do because everybody's busy, right? But if you do get the opportunity to do that, you can ask them why they bought, what nearly stopped them from buying, if at all, how they describe your value, why they bought your product over your customers. And then what you can actually do is you can take their language and you can use the language that they are using to respond to you and use that in your messaging, because that's generally, you'll generally find that those type of customers are all using the same type of language. So then your messaging's becoming more on point.
Yeah, when you're also using their exact language as well, it shows that it came from a real person rather than you just, you know, typing it in ChatGPT, which is a big thing at the moment. We had a video editor reach out, and all of his testimonials were just AI written with AI photos. So when you're using real people, people connect with people.
Yeah, that's correct. And the thing is, when you create an ICP, you should be looking at creating ICP tiers. as well, right? So tier one would be like your dream clients. That's the ones that you want to attract. You know, they don't give you any hassle. There are no Karens in there. Life's good. And they pay their investment on time, every time. Life's good. Then you've got your good fits, which are obviously, as the name suggests, are good fit clients. Then you could have a third tier, which is kind of high risk and maybe a low value. And generally what you want to try and do over time is aim for the dream clients, take on good fits, and try and offload your high risk and low value clients. Because I can tell you, when you've got low risk, low value, high risk clients, there can be a burden on your business. And that's why it's really important to make sure that you create your ICP as well, you know?
And you know what? It's always the customers that want to pay the least, that will have the most problems, that want the most requests, that want the most changes. Whereas your dream clients, you know, that might be paying that 10K per month. They trust you. They're happy for you to go ahead because, you know, they've got you in because you're the, you know, you're the leader in your field.
That's right, the expert, totally. And, you know, once you've got these ICPs developed, then that needs to be shared across all teams, not just marketing and sales, but across all teams, so that when customer service is reaching out to them with offers or your marketing team or customer success, they know exactly who it is that they're talking to and what kind of resonates with them, especially if you're doing offers.
Yeah.
So it'll be marketing, sales, products, make sure everyone's in sync. And just rework your content and targeting around ICP 1 and 2, which would be your dream and good fit clients.
Yeah. So we have some real world examples, which is actually fixing the ICP at Adonis. So when we first just started, when I first started with Adonis, we used to target to anyone who needed marketing because everybody needs marketing, right? But it was too broad. So over the time, we've redefined our ICP by looking at, you know, who gets the best results, who pays on time, and who stayed loyal to us for many years. And we found a pattern that growth-focused B2B businesses with internal sales teams and a hunger for scale were our best fit. And once we updated our targeting, you know, our close rate improved and our content started attracting the right clients. With this, we actually also did change our content, and we started doing the podcast. We started posting more content to Instagram as well, which has actually attracted a few clients. So if you're scared of getting out there, don't be scared, because it will bring in the most amount of clients. I'll tell you that. People buy from people. So now we build ICPs for our clients using the same process, and the clarity like it creates is just game changing. So that's a little bit into Adonis. You know, no matter where your business is at, as long as your business is ready to innovate and is open to change and listening to your customers, you'll grow. All right, so we have some actionable takeaways for you guys to take away this week. So I want you to audit your current ICP. Is it based on assumptions or evidence? I want you to interview 3 of your current clients this month. Use their language in your messaging and align your ICP with sales feedback and your CRM data. Be specific. If your ICP includes any business that wants to grow, then start over. And build tier 1, 2, and 3 segments and target tier 1 and 2. So for episode 22, we're going to be breaking down the lead gen addiction, and we'll show you how to shift from chasing those MQLs to building demand. So buyers come to you and they're already sold on what you do. All right. We'll see you for next week. Bye.